Ephesians chapter 5 tonight, Ephesians chapter 5. It'll take me a few minutes to get there in Ephesians chapter 5. I remind you that what I preach to you, if my notes are available, and the majority of times they are, then I make my sermons available to you. If you'd like to have the typed written notes and all of that, then just let me know. I'll be happy to give them to you. Now, if you ask for this sermon, I'm not going to give you the whole sermon before I get done with it, okay? But I'm making this available to you. I'm burdened, and God is really, really burdening my heart and turning my attention upon the leadership of Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. It is my desire as pastor that you become a leader at this church. Somehow, some way that you're leading others, that you're out in front of people, that you're leading them in the Christian life. And may I remind you that these principles that I'm giving you as I spell out the word leadership, it's an acrostic that I'm giving you. As I give you these principles, it's principles that I'm applying specifically to the church leaders, the leadership of the church. But these are principles that are good for all of life. I reiterate what Brother Gary's already said. These are really principles for just being a Christian when you think about it. But these are thoughts that the Lord has been working in my own heart with as we try to lead this local church to do all that God wants us to do. Let me say this to you. This church will not rise any higher than the leadership's rise. Those who are leading in this local church will help take this church where we go. There's no doubt about that. And I want you to know, as I said to my Sunday school class this morning, I don't want you to ever think that I'm preaching at you. That's not my heart. These principles are things that I need to be reminded of, that I need to live by. I'm preaching to myself as much as I'm preaching to you tonight. So let's continue here with this acrostic on Bible leadership. And we're going to be picking up here momentarily with the A. Let's pray together and we'll bring you up to date with where we are. Father, we love you tonight and we thank you for the privilege to be here. And I pray as we come back to this thought of Bible leadership, I pray that you help our hearts to be receptive. Would you fill us with your power and spirit? And would you help me to preach this with power and unction and clarity, compassion and conviction? We give this service to you in Jesus' name. Amen. One man said, and I quote and I agree, "The strength of any organization is a direct result of the strength of its leaders." As I said before, John Wooden, he's the former UCLA basketball coach, it's been said that he did not scout opposing teams, but he focused on getting his players to reach their own potential. It's been said the success of any organization will not reach beyond the character of its leaders. This man also said, if you want to grow an organization, then grow the leader. Dr. Lee Robertson, who's now with the Lord, a mighty, mighty leader that God used in a marvelous way, he came up with the statement, he was known for the statement, "Everything rises and falls on leadership." And you know, the longer I live, the more I agree with that statement. That's the truth. You want me to show you where this church is going? Show me the leaders. Where are the leaders at? Where are they with the Lord? And I want to challenge us with this thought on becoming the leaders that God wants us to be. First of all, the L, I've already preached on it. You can go back and get it. It should be on the internet there. And I appreciate Brother Jim McGee doing all that, making that available to you. But the L was, leadership is about loving the Lord supremely. Just quickly, what that simply means is that God has no rivals in a leader's life. God is not one of, he's the one and only in a leader's life. Secondly, leadership is about exemplifying the Christian life. We finished this thought on Wednesday night about how Bible leaders set the example of what a Christian really is. He sets an example in his actions, his language, and his lifestyle. He sets an example in his attributes. He's humble, he's friendly, he's teachable, he's excited, he's forgiving, he's pure, he's unified, he's approachable, he's honorable. Now tonight we pick up with the letter A. We're just going to get as far as we can here. The letter A in leadership, what is Bible leadership all about? Well, this is an important one. It may not seem that important, but it is vitally important to the local church. And that is the A, leadership is about accepting your God-given role. Leadership's about accepting it, your God-given role. Now stay with me here. Leaders find their God-given role. Notice I didn't say man-made role. I said God-given role. And they accept it. And they perform it faithfully, looking at the overall picture. One person said this, you can't be rivals when you're together making music. I like that statement. Take the orchestra. You show me somebody that's a rival in there, and it's going to tear that orchestra all to pieces. If you're together making music in harmony, you're not going to be competing with one another. You're not going to be rivals with one another. I'm glad tonight when my wife and I sung that we're not rivals. Amen. The fact of the matter is this. As one person said, you don't have to make headlines to make a difference. Did you hear that statement? You don't have to make headlines to make a difference. Whoever went in the big lots, it wasn't me, I'll guarantee you that. Amen. I try to stay away from them shopping centers, you know. But somebody in this local church put a gospel track out in that shopping center. And God Almighty directed that lady to that right there. And used that to bring her here. And through faithful teaching and faithful visitation, which the teachers have been doing, that lady places her faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Those people may not be in the headlines tomorrow. As a matter of fact, they won't be. But they made a difference in that lady's life, didn't they? That's Bible leadership. It's accepting your role. One man said, no matter how great the player, if he can't play with the team, he will not help the organization. No matter how great the player, if he can't play with the team, he's not going to help the organization. Now you understand I could say a lot of things here. Let me give you two areas where leaders accept their role. This is the A. Leadership's about accepting your God-given role. And a leader in the church, now I'm applying this to the church, but you can apply it to your own life, wherever you're at. Leaders accept their God-given role, number one under this, in marriage and family. No doubt about it. In Ephesians chapter 5, matter of fact, I want you to turn there. I want you to turn to these passages of Scripture. Now, I may begin reading before you get there, but Ephesians chapter 5, and beginning with verse number 22, the Bible says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Now, wives, listen to me, please. I've preached on this. I've dealt with this. You can go back and get it in detail, but I'm just simply trying to say this to you. I didn't say that. Your husband didn't say that. God did. God did. Now, you're to obey God rather than man. That means if your husband says, go kill that person, you don't submit in that, okay, friends? You understand what I'm saying to you. But wives are to submit. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives. There's your part, husbands. There's so many things here. Love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. By the way, if husbands love their wives with this God-given love, this agape love, this Christ love, enough to where the wife knew that he's going to sacrifice himself for her, it might help her submit a little bit better. Amen. Now that doesn't give a wife any right not to submit to her husband. But listen to me, friends. A husband has no right talking to his wife like a dog. Matter of fact, if he talks to his wife like a dog, then turn a dog loose on him. Honestly, I can't take stuff like that. God's not in that. May I say to you that God has put marriage and family together. And in the home, God has his roles that he wants the husband to play, that he wants the wife to play, that he wants the mom and dad to play, that he wants the children to play. God has given the roles to us. In chapter 6, verses 1 to 4, look at it. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Now, I didn't say it, children. God did. God said, obey them, for this is right. But notice in verse number 2, he changes it. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. There's the children's part. Love, listen here, obey and honor your parents. Here's what it is. If I tell my son, I'm going to pick on him here. Where's he at? Where's my boy at? I saw him. Yes, there he is. Good. Yes. Let me pick on him a minute. If tonight I go home and his room's a mess and I say, Judson, clean your room. And he goes, tch. If he does that, it might be the last time he looks at me. But he goes into his room and he slams the door and he cleans it better than he's ever cleaned it in his life. You listening? He obeyed me. But he did not honor me. See, obedience is action. Honor is attitude. And may I say this to the children tonight, and parents, you can say amen. Don't be afraid of your kids. They ought to obey you and they ought to honor you. That's what God gave them to do. Do you understand that we have folks who are children serving as leaders at Buffalo Ridge? Do you understand that Brother Bob has greeters for the youth group? He has ushers for the youth group. You know what they're translated into? Leaders. But they're also living at home under mom and daddy, and if they do not obey and honor, they are not a Bible leader because they've not accepted their role in family. Leaders accept their role in marriage and family. Then he talks to the fathers, and as he talks to the fathers, no doubt the mothers can be included. And you fathers, verse 4, provoke not your children to wrath. Bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. In this passage right here and other passages, you'll find that God has a specific will for husbands. He has a role that he wants them to play. He has a specific role that he wants the wife to play in the home. He has a specific role that he wants the children to play and a specific role that he wants the parents to play. And leadership is about finding your God-given role and accepting it. You do it. You obey it because it's what God has given you to do. You've heard this statement, strong homes equals a strong church. This church will not be any stronger than the homes represented in it. I want to ask you a question. How's your home? Now, I'm not asking for personal testimonies. Nobody stand up and say anything here. But put your own home right now. Let God speak to your heart. How's your home? If everybody in this church could watch a typical week or a typical month or a typical day in your home, would they want you leading somebody else in this church? Because the fact of the matter is, it doesn't matter if anybody on planet Earth knows, God already does. Leaders are about accepting their God-given role in marriage and family, first of all. May I say this to you? You have no ministry without your marriage. What I'm talking to Bible like Sunday school workers, and I'm saying if you're married tonight, your first ministry is to your mate. May I say this to you? If anybody ever accuses me of putting my family above this church, thank you. Thank you. Excuse me, this church is not first in my life. My family is. Because if I lose my family, what's it matter? What's it matter? I'm not saying the church is not important. I'd give my life for this church. I believe, I hope so. I love you, precious people. And I love this church. But I am not a pastor first. I'm not. I'm a Christian. I'm a husband. I'm a father. I'm a pastor. Now, I'm not saying that one's here, one's here, one's here. It's really all like this, you understand. They're all God-given things, but one is not to take the place of the other. Don't ever expect this pastor to sacrifice his family for this church. I will not do it. I will not do it. Because a leader accepts his role, first of all, in marriage and family. Paul Chappell said us. Now, nobody misunderstood what I just said, did you?
He said he doesn't care about me at all.
That's not, come on, friends. All I'm saying to you is I cannot be the pastor God wants me to be in this church unless I'm the husband to my wife that he wants me to be to my wife. And unless I'm the daddy to my children the way he wants me to be a daddy to my children. I'm a hypocrite if I get up with a smile on my face and say, you ought to do this and you ought to do this and God's word says this and I'm not even treating my wife right. I'm not even treating my children right. Now I'm putting myself on the spot because my children are here. My wife is here. Now I've threatened them if they... No, I'm just kidding with you there. Don't get me tickled now. Paul Chappell said, a spiritual leader recognizes that his family is his first ministry. J. Oswald Sanders said, while a leader cares for church and mission, he must not neglect the family, which is his primary and personal responsibility. If I try to win the world to Christ and my own children go to hell, I'm a failure. And let me say this to you right here. I believe the Lord has called me to pause here just a minute. I try to let my wife get out of the house every now and then, give her a break. And she has four children, you know, she's caring for at home. Homeschooling and taking care of the children. She stays at home. It was this week I let her get out, and that sounds bad, doesn't it? I let her get out. I caught myself, you know. What are you laughing at, friends, you know? You know what I'm trying to say. Have you men have let your wife out? Would you raise your hand? See, you all are scaredy cats, aren't you? You know what I mean? She went out this week, and she didn't get out. She went out, you know. And I had the children. Thank God for Granny and Papaw, who's right down the road. But I will say this in all sincerity. Anybody, I told my wife, I was kidding, joking, but I said something along this line. Anybody tells me that a stay-at-home mama doesn't work, I feel like punching them right in the mouth. What a job. By the way, I realize some ladies can't do that. I'm not knocking on ladies who have to work. You know your pastor. Many of you have to work. But listen to me. A stay-at-home mom, what a blessing it is for me that when I come to work and I'm out soul winning, I'm doing other things, I don't have to worry who's influencing my children. That lady sitting in the back, it's my wife. She's taking care of our children. She's accepted her God-given role, and I appreciate that. Bible leaders are about accepting their role in marriage and family. God is not pleased with a leader who gets up to teach or leads a bus route or drives a bus route or comes forward to usher or sings a special or sings in the choir or anything else or preaches a sermon or knocks on a door whose home life is in shambles. God's not pleased with that. God's not pleased with that. I would much rather somebody come out of a leadership position and say, you know, I'm struggling at home. Pastor, I need to get that settled first. You know what I'd say? God bless you. I'll help you any way I can. You're right. You're right. It is hypocrisy. Now listen, I'm just getting real here, okay? I'm not saying that those who stand to sing or those who preach or teach are to be perfect. No, we all have things we need to work on. Amen? We all can work more on our marriages. Now, I'm not asking is your marriage perfect, but you know if it's not where it needs to be. There's a big difference. Everybody needs to work on it. But there are some homes that's absolutely in shambles, displeasing to God. That's what I'm talking about. And it's hypocrisy to get up in front of people and lead if you're not even leading your own home. Now, may I say this to you? I don't say this often. That's pretty good stuff right there, friends. Leaders accept their God-given role in marriage and family, first of all. But secondly, they accept their role in ministry. Now, I want you to flip over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 with me. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And verses 12 through 31. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 12, beginning with verse number 12, The Bible says, for as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. Now notice this, if the foot shall say, because I'm not the hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the ear shall say, because I'm not the eye, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, notice this, as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? I'm going to stop with this one. But now are they many members, yet but one body. Now you can read down through the rest of the chapter later. Let me paraphrase. The body of Christ, those who are saved. By the way, this local church is a picture of that. This is not the body of Christ. The body of Christ is part. I hope you help make up the body of Christ, but this local church, this building, is not the body of Christ. If you're saved, you help make up the body of Christ. And here's what these verses are teaching. God has made you the part he wants you to play. And if the foot says, I'm not the hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And the eye can't tell the nose, I have no need of you. Because if the body was made up of just an eye, how could you smell anything? I'm paraphrasing. And if the hands say they don't need the feet, cut them off and see if they can go anywhere. And if the thumb thinks that they're no good, cut it off and see what the hand can do without it. You know what this passage is teaching? God, in his pleasure, in his sovereignty, has made some feet, some hands, some eyes, some noses, some ears, a lot tongues. Amen. Wow. And when God makes you what he made you to be, he made you to do your God-given duty where he put you. And he's saying this, there's no part more important than the other. Aren't you glad God thinks like that? Not thinks like that. That's who he is. This local church is a picture of the body of Christ. There are no unimportant duties in the local church. When it's God-given now. We're talking about God-given duties. Your God-given role. If God gives that to be done and he calls somebody to do it and he puts them in that ministry and they're leaders because they're leading in that ministry, then listen to me, the custodians never need to think that they're less important than the pastor. And the pastor should never think he's more important than anybody else. Because even though God calls the pastor to lead, that doesn't mean that his God-given role is more important than those he calls to follow. You with me out there tonight? You know what leadership's about? God, what do you want me to do? Where is my part in this? God says, I want you to drive a bus. Then be the best bus driver this church has ever had. I want you to be a bus captain. Then don't settle for anything less. I want you to be a deacon. I want you to be an usher. I want you to be a choir member. Let God make that decision. I want you to teach Sunday school. Find it. Find what God wants you to do, your God-given role, and accept it. And do it faithfully, realizing that God put you in that position. And God wants you just to obey him. There's nobody on staff more important than the other person. There's nobody in this church more important than the other person, because God has one body, and he makes some index fingers and some pinky fingers and some little toes and some big toes. You understand where I'm going with this. Find it where God has placed you and accept it. Go forward with it. Thank God for it. What I'm saying to you is, leaders, realize, and the local church now, this is a team effort. Do you understand that if one man tried to do all of this, it would not be done? If two people try to do it all, it would not be done. It takes a team of people. There's an international ministry going on Sunday evenings. There's a John Sevier Center going on. There's a Spanish Sunday school taking place. There's buses running. There's all these folks. I'm talking about Brother and Mrs. Cox who take that small bus and go pick up those elderly ladies. My great aunt Gladys is picked up on Sunday morning from that little bus. She's still teaching Sunday school. What I'm saying to you, she can teach Sunday school until Jesus comes, as far as I'm concerned. I'm glad she wants to be here. I'm glad she wants to teach. And I'll guarantee you this, I'm not going to tell her no for anything. Amen. She cracked me up this morning. She did. She's starting to lose her teeth a little bit. She's coming down the hallway, and I said, "Hey, how you doing?" She said, "I'm losing teeth." I'll guarantee you this, you see Glad coming, get out of the way. This is her sister right here. This is my grandma. She's another one that whenever she says something, if she says, "I want you to jump, Jody," then my response better be, "How high," right? She's laughing, but she knows down deep in her heart, she knows what I'm talking about. All I'm saying to you is this, find your God-given duty. Let me talk about my grandma just a minute. Now, I hope I don't embarrass her. This is the pastor just talking to the church, okay? About leadership. You look at her, she's been playing the organ since she was a teenager at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. This is a dangerous question, but remind me, I know you're 83 years old. Been playing the organ here since she was a teenager. I don't want to embarrass her, but if she held her hands up right now, her fingers are all crooked. And I don't want to embarrass her. Every now and then, when she plays, and she knows what I mean here, every now and then she might hit a sour note. Are you listening to me? If you saw her hands, you'd wonder how it's not all sour. And it blesses my heart to watch my grandmother, who has all this arthritis in her hands, play the organ. And she can play it as long as she wants to. She found her spot here. You see what I'm saying? She found her God-given duty. And she's done it for year after year after year after year. Some of you precious Sunday school teachers, Miss Snodgrass, who has taught for over 40 years, Miss Brinkley, who has taught for over 50 years, 5-year-olds, Miss Page, it's dangerous when you start naming names. I know that. I understand that. And if I don't name you off, leaders don't get upset with the pastor over that. Amen. I know it's dangerous to start calling names. I understand that. But I realize that many of you have been in it for 30 years, 40 years, 50 years, 60 years. Just faithfully going at it. Let me tell you one reason that this church is so strong. Because of people like you. Who have found their God-given job and they just accept it. And they just do it. The Trents have been in the fifth grade, how many years? 38? 38 years in the fifth grade. I'm 38 years old, friends. Have you all been serving the Lord in this local church for over 25 years? Would you raise your hand? Look at that. Look at that. Yes. How about 30 years? Let me do it this way. How about 40 years or more? Would you raise your hand? Can you stand just a moment? If you've been here for over 40 years in this local church serving the Lord, stand up if you can, if you wouldn't mind. Preacher, that'd be you. Miss Lassley, that would be you. Yes. Look at it. Yeah, yeah. Now look at this. Thank you. You may be seated. What am I saying? I'm ignoring what's going on over here. You know what I mean? Thank you for standing. I appreciate that. What am I saying? I'm saying this. How many times has your name been in the newspaper for what you've done in this local church? Probably not much, if any. But you know, I'm glad that we don't have to worry about what the newspapers say on planet Earth. I'm glad God's keeping a record of all this. And don't you think one day it's going to be worth it all when the Lord says, well done. Thank you, thumb, for not complaining that I didn't make you a big toe. Thank you, hand, for not complaining because I didn't make you a foot. Do you understand what I'm saying here? Leaders accept their role. They find it, they accept it. A plaque on Ronald Reagan's desk in the Oval Office read, and I quote, "There is no limit to what a man can do or where he can go if he doesn't mind who gets the credit." It is not me. It is we. That's how a leader thinks. It's not me. It's we. Leaders are careful to balance these two roles. I thought I was going to get all the way through the D. I did. You're getting used to it, aren't you? But I believe the Lord's working here. How's your marriage? How's your family? Have you grown weary with your position? Has the devil started whispering to you, nobody knows what you're doing? What difference are you making around here? All you do is teach third grade boys or fourth grade girls, or all you do is you go in once a month for the rotation workers during 11 o'clock service for the four-year-olds. What difference are you making? Reminded of the story. There was a young man, he was a piccolo player. If you've been here for a long stretch of time, you've probably heard me give this illustration before. He was a piccolo player. And they were having this large practice with all the orchestra, the trumpets and the drums, and a large choir apparently was singing. And Sir Michael Costa was the conductor of the whole thing. He was leading the whole thing. And he was leading all the orchestra and all the singers, and this one little old piccolo player began to get a little distressed, a little disheartened, discouraged. He thought to himself, nobody knows if I'm playing. What difference can my little instrument make in such a large orchestra? He got so discouraged that he kept the piccolo to his mouth, but he didn't blow into it. After all, who would know? And it wasn't just a few moments with the drums rolling, the trumpets blaring, and all these other instruments just with their rich melody and the voices singing. It wasn't just a few moments when he stopped blowing into his instrument that the conductor, the whole thing, I mean the one that led it all, he said, stop! Stop everything! I can't hear my piccolo player. Where's my piccolo player? And may I say to you, you may not be a trumpet, you may not be a drum, you may not be a rich melody singer, you may not be able to, I'm talking about you, comparatively speaking, maybe you're just a little piccolo and the devil tries to make you think you can't make a difference. You just might as well just stop and just let everybody else pick up the slack. What difference can you make? Nobody will know if you're serving, nobody will know if you're doing anything. Look how small you are. But if you refuse to blow your piccolo, before long, the conductor of the whole thing, his name is Jesus Christ, says, stop it all. I hear my trumpets, I hear my drums, I hear the rich melody. I don't hear my piccolo. leaders, excuse me, are not too big for their britches. They realize that if God makes them a piccolo, God has a purpose in His plan. And they will accept that, and they will do it faithfully. In their marriage, in their family, and in their ministry. That's the A. That's as far as I'm going to get, I'm sorry. I thought I'd at least get through the D. I didn't even get started. May the Lord add His blessing to this. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, help us tonight, I pray. Challenge us with the Word of God. And help us to understand that Bible leadership is about finding what You give us to do and doing it, accepting it with the right spirit. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. As soon as they get prepared, they're going to begin to play through softly. Tonight is really just a major thought, and that major thought is this: what is your God-given role? Whether you're a leader in this church or not, what has God given you to do? Husbands, are you fulfilling your God-given role? Wives, are you fulfilling your God-given role? Children, are you fulfilling your God-given role? Parents, are you fulfilling your God-given role? Let me deal with the family first, would you please? And you say, Jody, we're not perfect and we know that. God is using that thought tonight to really minister to my heart. I'm not asking, is there something ungodly going on? I'm not asking that, but I'm just simply saying that the Lord is speaking to you about becoming a leader who accepts their role in marriage and family. It could be teenagers. It could be children. It could be young people who say, you know, God's speaking to my heart just about honoring my mom and daddy. I've been obeying them, but I've not been honoring them. And I need to obey and honor my parents, because I can't be a leader if I don't. Have you God speaking to you? Maybe a husband, maybe a wife, maybe a mom, a dad. And you say, God is speaking to me. This doesn't mean that there's something out of place, but you're just saying, God is speaking to me about my family. And I realize that God is working on us. Maybe that's the case. Would you raise your hand in the air with mine? Put it up big and high, big and high. Yes, God bless you. That's a lot of hands tonight. God bless you. You know, it'd be great tonight to see all of you who raised your hand. And you know what you're raising your hand for. It could be something good. It could be something that you've started and God says, you're doing good, keep going. It'd be great for families to come to the altar. Families, husbands and wives and moms and dads and children, all to come to the altar and say, God, help us to fulfill our role in our home. Hey, you can't be a leader if you don't, friends, in your home. Maybe tonight you say, Jody, I'm a Christian. I know that. But I'll be honest with you. I needed this about accepting my role in ministry because the devil's been trying to work on me. He's been trying to make me think that I'm no better than that piccolo player and nobody even knows what I do. And the devil's been trying to talk to me like that, and I've been discouraged in my service. I know I'm doing right, but I've been discouraged lately and I've been down and out, and God is using this to encourage me that He's put me where He wants me to be. I'm obeying His will. This is what He's given me to do. And I needed to hear this tonight just so I get a fresh glimpse of faithfulness, just being faithful. If He's made me a hand, I want to be the best hand He made. If He made me a foot, I want to be the best foot He made. If He made me a toe or a finger or a nose or an ear, I want to be the best. And God is speaking to me about this. Be an honest person. Would you raise your hand in the air with mine? God bless you. Have you say, Jody, I don't even know what He's made me yet, but I want Him to show me what He wants me to do in this local church. I'm not sure what that is right now, but I want Him to know that I'm willing to do whatever it is. Would you raise your hand in the air with mine? Yes, God bless you. It's good to see children raising their hand to that question. I want to invite all of you who raised your hand to this altar. Some of you need to come and say, God, show me what you've made me. Show me my part in this local church. Some of you need to come and say, God, thank you for making me what you did. I'm a hand and I know that. Help me get my eyes off the feet and off of everything else and just focus on what you've given me to do and to do it more than I ever have. Or maybe God wants you to come for your family. Men, take the lead. Grab your children. Grab your wife and say, let's go pray. And let's pray as a family that God will help us to be the home that He wants us to be. Hey, you know who does that? Leaders. Leaders do that. And obviously, if you're lost and on your way to hell, tonight's the night of salvation. You come and let us take a Bible and share with you the gospel. As every head is bowed, every eye is closed, let's stand together. Father, take it and use it. May thy will be done. In Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. As soon as Brother Gary begins to sing, if God speaks to your heart, would you come? Come
I
now,
want
would you do it?
To do
families come.
Thy
husbands and wives
will,
come. Children come. You want to come and recommit yourself to what He's given you to do? You want to come and put your family on the altar? You want to come and say, God, you've made me a hand. Make me the best one I've ever been. Whatever it is. Some of you parents, if you see your children coming to the altar, I encourage you to come with them. Come with them. Come with them. Come pray with them. And ask God to help them. It's a precious time when your children respond. Don't ever get used to that. Keep singing, Brother Gary, if you don't mind.
I want to do thy will, O Lord. I want to do thy will, O Lord. Take me, break me, mold me and make me. I want to do thy will, O
look this way. We're about done. We're going to sing that verse one more time, Brother Gary. It's a precious time whenever children respond on their own. I like to see that. God has burdened my heart for leaders. Leadership. And may God help us to be the best leaders He wants us to be. Amen. Amen. Let's sing this one more time. This will be our closing prayer. Remind all the teen parents for this meeting downstairs. You'd be right in your place if possible. Let's sing this. This will be our closing prayer. We'll be dismissed. Sing it from your heart.
I want to do thy will, O Lord. I want to do thy will, O Lord. Take me.
Thank you for being here. God bless you. You're dismissed. Great Sunday night crowd. Thank you.